We've had this chus all year to learn from the Kedushas Levi's beautiful insights into the Chumash. And as we prepare ourselves for the Yom Tov Tisha B'Av, which Amir Tzashem this year will truly be a Yom Tov, I want to learn together some of his insights onto Megillas Eicha. He has quite a few very deep insights into Megillas Eicha. And if you'll say that this is sort of depressing, let's be hopeful that Mashiach's going to come, let's not need Megillas Eicha anymore. The Tzaddikim tell us that even a painful sefer, a painful Megillah like Megillas Eicha has a pnimius to it. And even though on the surface it's filled with very, very painful words, but if we understand it more deeply, we understand that there's tremendous bracha hidden within. And therefore, even when Mashiach comes, we're still going to be able to look into Megillas Eicha and no longer read it in the sad and mournful type of way that we have read it for the last many years, but we'll be able to read it with a new understanding and a new depth and a new appreciation of the bracha contained within. I want to start from the second piece of Megillas Eicha, which is commenting on the pasuk in Perek Aleph Pasuk Hey, Hayutzareha LaRosh Oyveha Shalu. Pasuk says Hayutzareha LaRosh, that all of her enemies, referring to Klal Yisrael, our enemies were LaRosh, they became heads over us. And then the pasuk continues a few words later. Hoga al kol ki Hashem hoga al rov pishaeha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afflicted bnei Yisrael because of our many averos, rov pishaeha. Olaleha halchu shvi lifnei tsar, very painful pasuk. That olaleha, her young ones have gone into captivity in the hand or before the enemy. He explains the kedusha slavi, a phenomenon that we're all unfortunately familiar with, and that is ki mashinira nifla v'temeya. We need to understand that we need to wonder about the following question. Lama ba'im machshavos zaros be'is ha'tfila b'hachanas ha'lev l'tfila? Why is it so often that when a person is trying to prepare himself to daven, all sorts of strange thoughts flood a person's mind? And dafka, I think we find, and certainly this is my experience, and I'm sure that others will share it, that when you're particularly working on tefillah, and you're trying to get better at tefillah, and you're trying to be even more mindful during tefillah, even more so the Yetzirah floods your mind with thought. You're trying to have extra kavana, and dafka at that moment, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes it harder for you to reel in your thoughts. Why is that so? Why do we sometimes have very strange, almost inappropriate thoughts, sometimes cloud a person's mind in the moments of tefillah? Ha'enyan hu ki ma sheyared al yedei chet upesha, ad mishtokek lahalos beis avodas ha'tefillah. So explains the Berdichever, that the things that we damaged over the course of our life, the chataim, the pesha'im, the sins that we've done, they long to be able to be fixed at that moment of connection to Hashem. So if we understand an avera, if we understand the word chet, which it sometimes means in Tanakh, as missing the mark, as being a failed moment in our life, well, tefillah is a moment of the utmost connection to Hashem. So therefore, dafka at that moment, that experience revisits us and wants to get a tikkun. It wants to be lifted up through the tefillos to be restored to its proper place. And that's what it means, says the Berdichever in Pnimius, Hayutzareha LaRosh. Tzareha means the Yetzirah. Tzareha means the Averos that a person did. LaRosh, Machshavo Zaros Shavamalach. Sometimes Tzareha LaRosh, sometimes foreign ideas enter my head. Ki Hashem Hoga. Hashem Hoga, Rov Pesha'ah, the Pasha Pshat means that Hashem has afflicted Bnei Yisrael because of our averos, but Hoga, of course, is the lashon of Hagisa Boyom Valayla, to meditate upon and to speak about words of Torah in that context. Ki Hashem Hoga, so in a similar context here, Hashem Hoga lashon dibur peirush b'divrei Hashem hu. At the moment that a person is speaking to Hashem, Hayutza rehalarosh, all of a sudden my enemies flood my mind. Why is that? Says the pasuk al rov pishaeha. The answer is al rov pishaeha olaleha holchu shevi lifnei tsar he misalim lamalim in atzaro olaleha he nitzotos shaholchu shevi. The sparks of holiness that were taken into captivity, they're trying to rise up. They're trying to find their place. Olaleha holchu shevi lifnei tsar. They want to try to restore themselves to their place above the avera lifnei tsar he lamalim in atzar al yedei dvar Hashem. It's trying to find its way back to an elevated place. Al rov pesha'ah, that it should be able to be above the sin itself. And this explains a little bit, again, this strange phenomenon that we've experienced as to why sometimes in those moments of tefillah, we find ourselves so frustrated to be able to clear our mind and to have proper thoughts. We should realize that while this is something to try to work on, but at the same time, it's part of the tikkun process, that again, that Hashem has a plan here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu intends for you to be able to bring back thoughts of something that was imperfect and to try to reconnect it and to elevate it through that state of dveikus during tefillah. It's, again, it's not an easy thing to accept, because who doesn't want to have a pure and clear mind during tefillah? But you should just know that if your mind is clouded during tefillah, especially if it's thoughts about things from one's past, so a person should realize it's an opportunity to lift up those nitzotos and to correct and restore that that broken and fallen moment in time. Okay, we continue with Perek Gimel, which is his next insight. Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud. The Pasuk says, Dov Orev Huli, like a bear who's ready to ambush, he was to me, the enemy was to me. Ariba Mistarim, like a lion who's in his hiding place. Again, a frightful image of an enemy who's lying in ambush, waiting to attack at any moment. It's a frightening thought. This is Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud. I'm just trying to find it here in my Megillas Eicha. Doesn't help if you're looking in Koheles. Let's try this again. Dov Orev Huli Ariba Mistrim. Yeah, Dov Orev Huli, that's the whole Pasuk. Dov Orev Huli, he's like a dove, like a bear, who's Orev with an Aleph. Orev Huli, who's lying in ambush, Ariba Mistrim, like a lion in a hiding place. Explains the Kedushas Levi HaKlal. Zesha Hashem Yisparach Hechrivas Beis Tifarto V'anachnu Yisrael Begalus. This piece is one of my favorite pieces on Megillas Eicha because it's so filled with hope. Says the Kedushas Levi, that which Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and that which we find ourselves in Galus. Hakol hu bevadai tova liYisrael. We need to understand this is all good. It's not pleasant, but it's good. It's part of a process of a restoration of Klal Yisrael. It's tearing down the old Beis HaMikdash to create and to pave the way for the new Beis HaMikdash. Ki bevada yirachim Hashem alinu yoser v'yoser. Because Hashem, certainly as the clock ticks and time unfolds, will begin to understand more and more how everything that we're going through is the rachmanus of Hashem, even though on the surface sometimes it hurts so bad, hurts so terribly. V'yibana Beis Mikdashenu b'yeser seis v'yeser oz. And the Beis HaMikdash will be restored to its former glory with even greater strength and even greater power. Yes, it's true. Right now, our perception of Galus is that it's certainly not good, and that's certainly an understandable and reasonable feeling. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the secret. Hashem knows what's beneath the surface. We're only seeing what's on the surface, which is pain and suffering and tears and hardship. But Hashem sees how it fits into the greater plan of moving the world towards something good. And it's all Yerida Letzarech Aliyah. It's tearing down, again, like I said, the Beis HaMikdash in order to build something more beautiful in its place. Shakol Hu Tova LiYisrael. How does this fit into our Pasuk? Dov Orev Hu Li. Dov, what's a dove? A dove is a very frightening image. Harem is Al-Golis Shehu Lo Tov. Right? The dove is lying in ambush. The bear ready to attack. That's the frightful feeling of a Jew in Golis. However, you should just know, says the Pasuk, Arib Mistarim. And while again superficially a lion brings together an equally frightening, if not a more frightening image, says the Kedusha Slevi that the Aryeh Romez Almidas Achesed. We know from the Zohar Kadosh in Parshas Yisro that the lion is a code word for Chesed. So what does it mean, Arib Mistarim? Even though on the surface, Dov Orev Huli, even though on the surface it looks like I'm waiting to be ambushed, Hashem is out to get me. As I mentioned recently, there's a famous comic strip of Calvin and Hobbes, for those who are holding in those in Yonim, where Hobbes says to Calvin, do you believe in God? To which Calvin, do you think there's a God out there? To which Calvin responds, well, someone's out to get me, so there must be something out there. Right? That's a terrible notion of a Kodesh Baruch Hu waiting in ambush, trying to catch us just to punish us. It's certainly not how it's meant to be perceived, our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yes, on the surface, Dov Orev Huli, Hashem is like a bear lying in ambush. But Arib Mistarim, it's a Korean exiv, by the way. It's written Aleph Resh Yud Hey, Aryeh, and it's pronounced Ari. Arib Mistarim, a lion is in the hidden places. The Aryeh, again, says the Zohar, is Maramis to the Midah of Chesed. Kihu Tzad Yamin HaMerkava. In Yechezkel's image of the chariot of the Merkava, the lion's on the right-hand side. And we know the right-hand side is always the side of Chesed, Moral Chesed. And that's what it means, Ariba Mistarim. In the hidden places, in the pnimius of all of this suffering, is an Ari, is the Midah of Chesed. HaNistar. Hainu HaKavana Shaletzara HaGalos V'Achurban Beis HaMikdash Hurak Chesed Al Yisrael Kenizkar Le'el. And that's why the mazel for Chodesh Av is in fact the Aryeh, is in fact the lion. Because we need to remind ourselves time and again, and I mentioned last night in a shiur from Rav Moshe Wolfson, that the very reason that we call the Chodesh Av is also the same idea. It's Av, it's Avinu Shevah Shemayim, it's our loving father. It's the month of the lion, which is Merames to the Midah of Chesed. And therefore, let's not be fooled, as we say so many times from the Sfas Emes, don't be fooled by your superficial perception of things, but realize Ariva Mistarim, that all of the suffering has tremendous chesed hidden within. And again, it's our tefillah that we should be able to see it this year with our own eyes. We daven for revealed good, and halavai we should be zochah to see that in our lives. Okay, continuing now with the next piece, a couple of psukim later, this is also Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Again, the pashup shot of the pasuk is very, very painful. Pasuk says, "Hevi bichil yosai b'nei ashpaso." It's a very almost lewd expression. He shot bichil yosai. He shot hevi. He brought into my innards, into my kidneys, b'nei ashpaso, the arrows of his quiver. There's certainly a certain almost sexual image to that, as the enemy took advantage of Nebuch, the poor Jewish people. And then pasuk continues. Pasuk Yudalid, "Hayisi schok l'chol ami." The way that we've been taken advantage of, we're the laughing stock of all the nations, niginasam kol hayom. And they sing about it. They sing songs about our downfall. Very, very painful. But again, what does it mean, hevi bichil yosai b'nei ashpaso, that he brought into my kidneys the b'nei, the children, or the way it's loosely translated here, as the arrows of his quiver. He shot arrows at us that entered into us. Explains the Kedushas Levi. Haklal, Hatzar v'Achurban Beis Mikdashenu. Again, we need to understand that the suffering and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, La'asid kasher yibanei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'rov rachamav v'chasadav b'yeser se'is v'yeser oz, and we're zochet to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash with, again, greater fervor and greater strength, oz yizgala sheze Hatzar v'Achurban hayirak chesed. Continuing thematically, like we said a moment ago, we'll realize and we'll come to appreciate that the whole thing is really chesed in disguise. V'nimtza hatzar yolid hasimcha. So therefore, in a certain sense, the pain and the hardship gives birth to the joy that comes afterwards. V'nimtza hatzar hu kedimyon ha'av hamolid lahasimcha. Maybe that's another reason why we call the month Av, because something's being born here. Like the Medrash says in Eicha, the Mashiach is being born on Tisha B'Av. Right, there's a tremendous, something's being born out of all of this suffering. We shouldn't think that the suffering, chas v'shalom, is in vain. So therefore, the tsar is like an av, that's molid simcha, that's going to produce a ben, a child, v'asimcha v'chinos ben l'hatzar. Right? If the father, so to speak, represents the suffering, so the ben, the byproduct, the child, that which emerges, is going to be simcha. The child represents tsar. So how do we read that into the pasuk? Hevi b'chil yosai, klomar. Hashem yisparach nason, b'machshavasi she'ani zocher metzapel ha'yeshua v'asimcha asher yavo mizatzar. Hashem put it into my kidneys. What does it mean, kidneys? Kidneys in Chazal always represent the place of deep-seated wisdom, of etza, right? Of being able to draw from the depths of one being. Avram Avinu was able to infer the mitzvos through the guidance of his kidneys. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into our deepest, the deepest recesses of our mind and our heart, so to speak, to continue to long for the Geula. How can we long for the Geula? How can we hope for Yeshua and Simcha when we're drowning in Tsar? Answers the Pasuk, B'nei Ashpaso, that realize something's going to be born out of this, something's going to emerge. From all of this suffering, something, there's going to be a ben, there's going to be a simcha that comes afterwards. Klomar asher yulad mizeh hatzar, dahainu asimcha, dahainu b'nei, the children, so to speak, that emerge. What comes next is going to be the joy. And that's what the pasuk says, v'lecha chayisi schok l'chol ha'amim. Right? Schok l'chol ha'amim doesn't just mean that the nations are laughing at us, but we're going to become a source of joy amongst the nations. Right now, we're very downtrodden. But realize that v'na hafachu, all of this is going to be turned inside out and upside down with the geula. And therefore, hevi b'chil yosai, Hashem, put it into our mind to continue to dream, to hope, to believe. Uvezeh klomar keshani mala al machshavasi hasimcha asher yulad mizatzar. When I contemplate and I meditate upon the great joy that will emerge from this difficulty, oz anis chok l'chol ha'amim. Right, so you can learn it more negatively, that the nations laugh at me. Ha, you think you're going to one day be saved, but chok l'chol ha'am, of course, can be learned more positively, that the nations are going to laugh, an ironic laugh, a laugh of joy, or we're going to laugh in the face of the nations who ridiculed us as being the lowest of the low, when it turns out that we're the greatest of nations and that we're Hashem's beloved. So again, look how the Berditchever, Kedarko B'Kodesh, but especially here, we're learning a section of Tanakh, like Megillas Eicha, which is so painful on the surface. Someone like the Kedushas Levi has the eyes and the depth of spirit to transform all these psukim into tremendous hope and be mechazik us in the Yeshua. Okay, a couple of psukim later, continuing with the next piece, the psukim Perak Gimbal Yudches through Chav Beis. I'm just going to read the psukim inside, and then we'll take a look at the Berditchever's parish. Va'omer avad nitzchi v'sochalti me'Hashem. Again, not easy words. Va'omar, I said at that time, avad nitzchi, gone is my, lost is my netzach. V'sochalti me'Hashem, my expectations, my hope in Hashem. Everything that I thought was so permanent life seems to be so temporary, taken away from me. Zachar anyi umi la'ana v'larosh. Zachar anyi, remember my affliction. Like we say as well, umirudi, think about my sorrow, think about my pain. La'ana v'rosh, different types of, like we have at the end of the Chumash. La'ana is wormwood and rosh is bitter gall. Right? Two types of bitter and unpleasant types of grasses and wood. Zachor tizkor v'sashuach alay nafshi. My soul remembers, zachor tizkor, I remember it very well. V'sashuach alay nafshi, and I'm bent over, my nefesh is bent over. Right? It pains me, my soul, so to speak, is crushed by this. Zos ashiv alibi, al kein ochil, but I take this to heart, and it gives me hope. And now the famous words of the Pasuk of Beis, chaste Hashem ki lo samnu, ki lo chalur achavav. The kindness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu never ends. Kilo samdu, kilo chalur achamav. The mercy of Hashem is never kalu. It's never exhausted. It's never used up, and that gives a person chizuk. Right? Zos hashiva libi al keno chil. I have a lot of hope because I know that Hashem's chesed is forever. So ask the Berditchever the following question on those last two psukim, chaf aleph and chaf beis. Yish ledaktik. Shehavid li lemeimar zos ashiv elibi chaste Hashem al keno chil. Says the Kedushas Levi, I would have written the psukim differently. I would have said, I think about the kindness of Hashem, and therefore I hope. It's a little bit strange the way that it's positioned. It says, I think about something, and it gives me hope. What is it? The kindness of Hashem. Right? Shouldn't it mention the kindness of Hashem before it mentions the hope? After all, it is the kindness of Hashem that is never ended or exhausted that gives the person the hope. So why? Madua makdim al keno chil. Why does it say, therefore I have hope? Oh, by the way, what gives me hope? Chaste Hashem ki lo samnu. You would think it should be the other way around. Amnam ha'inyan masha korin Shabbos chazon, al shem masha einu l'shivchan shal Yisrael. So he asks the follow-up question, why do we call the Shabbos chazon? It's a name that seemingly is not a very pleasant name, right? As we read the harsh rebukes of the Navi Yeshaya, yesh lomer shachazon lashon machzeh. Mashamarin hayeudim rav tov hatzafun acher kiva shamalchama hagedola beezus Hashem lenafshos Yisrael hanishlachem lolam haza machmashehim oav Hashem yisparach v'oavim lo. Shabbos Chazon, of course, again on the surface, is the name is taken from the Haftorah, which is a painful Haftorah, but in a certain sense, it represents a certain long vision of the future. It's that longing vision that after all of the struggle and after all the fights and after all of the casting off of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people are going to restore their love to Hashem, and Hashem is going to restore His love to them. V'chol magamasam elav kodem shenishlchu l'olam hazeh l'molchama maran lehem ravtu v'tzafon. And even before a Jew is sent down to this Meshuggah world, there's a longing, there's a hoping, there's a possibility of catching a glimpse of all the good things that are in store for a Jew who's connected to Hashem. Ach bavonoseinu harabim tirgaz bitnam shalsoni Yisrael aleinu. But unfortunately, the enemies have made it hard for us to continue to recognize that relationship. And therefore what? Ach mimash anu zochrim anyenu umirudenu v'sashuach aleinu nafsheinu. Paraphrasing the Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Tes, Pasuk Chaf, when we remember our affliction, when we think about our sorrow, when we realize how much we've been hurt, even though we seem to have forgotten a little bit about the potential and the opportunity and the Rav Tuv HaTzafun LeTzadikim, all the promise that came with the hope of a good and meaningful life in this world, right? But by remembering the suffering, that itself will be a way to tap ourselves back in. When I remember my suffering, when I remember the hardship, when I realize that I'm still going through this difficulty, well, guess what? That means I haven't been defeated. And he says in an amazing way, like the Gemara says in Psachim, that it's nigzar al ameis shishtakeach ben alev. A dead person is forgotten after a period of time. The fact that we're so obsessed with our own national and personal suffering and we can't get it out of our mind, that itself should give us hope. Right? When a person feels, again, going back to the Psukim, Pasuk Yirches, when you feel, Avad nitzchi v'sochalti me'Hashem, that my hope is gone and my eternity is lost and there's nothing for me to rebuild. So says the Pasuk, remember your suffering, right? It's not just saying to Hashem, remember my suffering. A Jew is talking to himself, remember how much I've suffered, remember how crushed my soul is, take that to heart, right? And realize that despite all my suffering, Klal Yisrael has survived against all odds. We're still here. Right? Meaning when the person is dead, again, going back to that Maimer Chazal and Psachim, when a person is dead, he's forgotten. He's truly lost all hope, and therefore things are restored to their former place, and all is done. A person who's still alive can't be forgotten. So therefore, how do you read the Psukim? Let's put it all together. I hope I'm saying it clear enough. I know I'm not, but I'm trying. V'zeu zos ashiv elibi. This is what I take to heart. Again, when I realize that there's a feeling that hope has been lost. So how do I start to hope again? Zos ashiv elibi. I take this to heart. Zachor tiskor v'sashuach nafshi. Again, I remember my pain. I remember how crushed my soul is. Mizeh nira ba'alil ki lo nichseva tochalti b'chol yom. And therefore my hope is not in vain. Why? Alkein ochil. The fact that I'm suffering means I'm alive. And if I'm alive, that means there's hope. V'zeo ma yedidos mishkan osecha. And this is the pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim Pei Dalid. Ma yedidos mishkan osecha Hashem. Nichseva v'gam kol sem nafshi l'chatos Hashem. It's a strange pasuk. Again, what does it mean? Ma yedidos mishkan osecha Hashem. Right? How beautiful or how lovely is the Mishkan? Are your dwelling places Hashem? And my soul is pining for you and longing for you at all times. Ki Mishkan al Shem Mashkon, shenis Mashkein ba'avonoseinu harabim. Yes, we know from the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Beis Hamikdash as collateral. Instead of destroying us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Beis Hamikdash from us. But a Mashkon is not a final sale. A Mashkon means that Hashem is holding on to something until we're able to get it back. Because it's possible for us to redeem Tzion once again, like the collateral that you get back when you pay up the loan. And the fact that we're still longing for it, again, is the greatest proof that it's still out there somewhere and it's still available to us. So again, what's the bottom line in these psukim? A person feels, there's an expression, there's a feeling, avad nitzchi v'sochalti me'Hashem, that my expectations, my hope, it's all lost. And then a person starts to think about the suffering and reminds himself that, wait a minute, if I'm still mindful of the suffering, that means I'm still alive despite having gone through such difficulty. Right? I realize that the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash has been taken as a mashkon, but it's possible Tzion b'mishpati pada, I can redeem it. And therefore, zos ashiv alibi al kein ochil. When I think about my hardship, right? That answers the question that we asked. Why does it say chaste Hashem after it says I have my hope, and then it says because Hashem's chesed is never ending? The answer is because the hope is not only in the chesed of Hashem. That's the second point. The hope is following after the psukim that say, I remember my suffering. By remembering my suffering, I have hope. By remembering my suffering and recognizing that I'm still alive, I have hope. And additionally, on top of that, chaste Hashem kilo samnu. So a Jew has to understand, again, it's thematically it's the same idea, to realize that all of the suffering is nothing other than building blocks in order to bring us towards geula. And therefore, if I'm alive and I'm hurting, that's a good sign. That means I'm alive. If I can feel pain, that's better than not feeling pain, God forbid. You know, you read tragic stories of people who can't feel anything because they've been so badly injured. When a person's able to feel pain, that's a very good indication that they're on their way to recovery. If, God forbid, they can't feel anything, that's a sign, God forbid, that limb, chas v'shalom, could be dead. So amidst all of the pain, that gives us the hope. Zachar ani merudi, remember your pain, and zos ashiv alibi, take that to heart, al keno chil. And that gives us hope. And if that's not enough, additionally, pasuk of beis, chaste Hashem kilo samnu kilo chol rachamav, we additionally know that Hashem's kindness is endless, and that gives us further hope for the possibility of redeeming and restoring the Beis HaMikdash once again. Okay, let's do two more pieces for now. If there's time, God willing, we'll have a chance to learn some more on a different occasion. But let's try to look at the next two pieces, and then we'll stop for today. Chelke Hashem Omra Nafshi, Al Kein Ochil Lo. Pasuk of Dalet, right after what we were just learning. Chelke Hashem Omra Nafshi, my portion, Chelke Hashem. It's a very hopeful declaration. Chelki Hashem, my chelak is Hashem. My portion is by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Amar nafshi, my soul is able to say such a thing. Al kein ochil lo, and therefore I put my hope in Him. Explains the Berditcher with a mashal. Yevura al derech mashal la adam ashir shahayu lo ohev ish ani. Imagine a wealthy individual who has a friend, a beloved friend, who is very poor. Vayinosin lo kol itzdarchus, and he provides him with all of his needs. Va'achar zen ishava eiza sinamei ashir la ha'ani. And afterwards, a fight develops between them. There's a negativity. There's a hatred that develops between the wealthy one and the poor one. So after having gone through this fight, if the Ashir comes back to his friend the Ani and says, "Libi alecha, my heart is upon you, my thoughts are with you, I feel connected to you once again," that my heart is drawn to the love that once existed between us, so to speak. If the Usher says, "I'm thinking about you," right? So the Ani is hopeful, not just that, well, you know, we can have a cold, casual relationship once again, but we can have that warm, intense, loving relationship once again. He's hopeful that we can restore the relationship entirely. And not only that, practically, the Ani is thinking, "Listen, my dear friend, when we used to be good friends, he supplied me with all my needs. He helped me financially. And I'm hopeful that if he says, you know, he says to me, 'Libi alecha,' I'm paying attention to you again," well, then it's a good indication that maybe he's going to help me out once again practically as well. Kevan shel libo alav, since his heart and his mind have turned once again to his former friend, the Ani. Kein anachnu Yisrael, afal pisha anachnu ata begalus. So right now, our former friend, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has distanced himself, or we distance ourselves from him. And we're no longer receiving the same divine intervention, that shefa in our life. We're no longer being supplied with our needs the way that it once was. Kevan sheyeshes oras ha'alyan aleinu shanachnu chelak Hashem lokai. But once we come to the realization that we are once again able to be the portion of Hashem, as our pasuk says, chelki Hashem omra nafshi, when my soul tells me once again that my portion is Hashem, that Hashem has turned back to me, when there's a his oras from above to awaken my soul to believe that Hashem is interested in me. So therefore what? Omer li shani chelak Hashem, that my neshama is telling me, I am, I can be, and maybe I always was the portion of Hashem. Al kein ochil lo, therefore I put my hope in Him once again. Bezeh ani metzapa shirachim Hashem aleinu, that the feelings of love will be fully restored, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will once again shower His kindness upon us. So again, let's try to get to that point over the course of these days. Even though it's hard, we feel like Hashem is in some ways pushing us away, but in a certain sense, again, the Av is reaching out to us more than ever, and we have to listen to the very fine reverberations of the soul that are telling me, Chalki Hashem Amar Nafshi, that I am the Chalik Hashem, Alkein Ochil Lo, and therefore I can Ochil Lo, I can put my hope in Him. Okay, last but not least for today, a piece not from the Megillah itself, from Megillah's Eicha itself, but something which is certainly nogeya, as a comment is found in Eicha Rabba, the Medrash on Eicha on this pasuk, Mizmor la'asaf Elokim ba'ogayim nachal asecha. David HaMelech says in Tehillim Ayin Tes, Mizmor la'asaf, a song by Asaf, Elokim, Hashem, God, ba'ogayim b'nachal asecha, Look how the enemies, look how the foreigners have entered into your nachala. Ayin bechazal, mizmor v'chulu. Look in the Medrash and Eicha, right? We know that when the Torah, when David HaMelech in Tehillim says a lashon of mizmor la'asaf, or if that particular parak of Tehillim was written by Asaf, right? When we have mizmor la'asaf, and then it describes something tragic, so of course the Gemara and the Medrash asks, why is this called the mizmor? This should be called the kina. It should be called the lament. Mizmor means a song of great joy. Imagine a king who builds a palace for his son, the prince, and the son spoils the place, he ruins the place, he dirties the place. The king is so angry that he wants to tear down this palace, but he doesn't want to do it on his own, because it's too painful for him to directly punish his son. He knows how sad the prince is going to be if the palace is taken away from him. So what does the king do? He stops protecting the prince's palace. He withdraws his guards. And therefore the outsiders come. The enemies see, oh, the prince's palace is no longer protected. And they come and they ambush the palace. They destroy the palace. They steal from the palace. So that which the king did not choose to directly destroy the palace himself. It's the fact that the king allowed the Goyim to destroy it, right, as opposed to destroying it directly, that itself was an expression of love for his son. He didn't have the heart to take away, to destroy his own son's palace. So, in fact, allowing the Goyim to destroy it was an expression of love, not to be seen as a terrible disgrace. Aval al charvas hagayim nemar. But when it comes to the destruction of our enemies, the pasuk says in Yeshaya towards the end in Parak Samach Gimel, pura darachti levadi. When it came to trampling the enemies, I did so on my own. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't need to beat around the bush here. When it comes to the enemies of Klal Yisrael, Hashem says, I'm going to take care of them once and for all directly. As opposed to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdrew his hashkacha, allowing the enemies, so to speak, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Shekadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo yidroch pura shalo la'achriv ha'goyim. When it comes to destroying the enemies, Hashem will do so directly. And therefore, yes, mizmor la'asaf. We should sing and rejoice over the fact that what? That bo'u goyim b'nachal asecha. That Hashem did not destroy the palace directly out of His love for us, but merely withdrew His hashkacha, allowing our enemies to take advantage of us. So I think if we've learned anything today, we've come to a new understanding that all of the psukim in Megillas Eicha, which again on the surface are sometimes so hard to read, understandably so, but they're filled with messages of hope. Not only again the obvious psukim like the Chaste Hashem Kilo Samnu, but again to read between the lines and to understand that the Ariba Mistarim is what? Is a chesed that's lying in wait for us. And to understand that when a person has lewd thoughts during davening, it's part of the tikkun of those of Eros. And to realize that it's also being able to elevate those nitzotzos that have fallen, those missed opportunities from one's past. And when a person feels a terrible tsar, will realize b'nei ashpaso, something is going to be born out of all of that suffering. And tzchok l'chol ha'amim, there'll be a laugh in the face of the nations of the world. Right? V'tischak liyom achron in a certain sense. And if a person feels that I've lost all my hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've suffered so much, well, pause for a second and just remind yourself that if you were dead, you'd be forgotten. And the fact that you're able to remember your suffering is a great reminder that, in fact, Klal Yisrael has survived. We are alive, and the Beis HaMikdash has only been taken as a mashkon, but Tzion b'mishpat tipada, we're able to redeem it. If we feel that the one who used to supply us with our needs, the rich friend, going back to our mashal, has abandoned us, realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chelki Hashem Amar Nafshi. My neshama is telling me, no. Chelek Hashem Amo. The Jewish people are always the Chelek of Hashem. And therefore we can hope for tremendous chesed and rachamim once again. And lastly, the takeaway of all of this is Mizmor La'asaf, Elokim Bo'u Goyim B'nach La'asecha. That we should be able to sing and rejoice, again, maybe not externally, certainly that's not the nature of the day, right? But to even if we're sitting on the floor crying once again on Tisha B'Av, but to carry in our hearts that feeling of Mizmor, that there's a tremendous song, there's a tremendous moments of hope that are hidden in between the crevices, and Amir Tz Hashem this year, if we really, really want it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow us to see all of these psukim understood this way, b'derech ha-pshat, that we should be able to recognize the kindness of Hashem as it reveals itself in the world. It's no longer a lion in hiding places, but that lion, that chesed, should emerge upon the world and bring only bracha, nachas, and geula to Klal Yisrael and the world at large. Mirtz Hashem, hope to see everyone in Yerushalayim.